I'd ask you to turn to the book of Hebrews in chapter 7. The book of Hebrews in chapter 7. And we'll commence the reading at verse 23. Hebrews chapter 7, verse 23. For they truly were many priests, referring, of course, backward to the Aaronic priesthood, because they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. But this man, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable and untransferable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. For such an high priest became us, who is holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, made higher than the heavens, who needeth not daily, as those high priests, looking backward to the Aaronic priesthood, to offer up sacrifice first for his own sins and then for the people's, for this he did once when he offered himself. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmity, but the word of the oath which was since the law maketh the Son who is consecrated forevermore. And God will bless to us this reading from his precious word. There are two simple and profound statements that the Hebrew writer makes in chapter 5, which opens our understanding to Christ in the book. That is this: Thou art my son, thou art a priest forever. And those two statements open our understanding as to the contents of this lovely book. There are at least three lovely statements that the Hebrew writer makes in order to encourage the first readers of the letter, along with encouraging ourselves. One goes like this: let us go on. Another one says, let us draw near. And the third one, let us go forth. So, practical lessons that come to our understanding, contemplating and viewing Christ as the eternal Son, as the priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. I suppose I would be correct in saying this Sunday afternoon that there is not a subject that is more vital to the saints of God in this dispensation than the subject of the Lord Jesus as our great high priest. Often in the gospel, you men who preach the gospel and some of us who try, well, in the gospel, we point men to the cross, don't we? Now, that's where the work was done. But you see, now that we're saved and we speak of the cross as his finished work, the Lord Jesus in resurrection, he's entered now into what we refer to as an unfinished work. The work of the cross is a look backward. It was a finished, a completed work. As you and I, as believers today, we're not occupied with Christ and the cross. We're occupied with Christ on the throne. His present work then of high priestly ministry is a work then of succor and of sympathy and of sustaining us on our journey home. Let me make a statement. None of us would be here this afternoon if it were not for the priestly ministry of the Lord Jesus. How important is it? None of us would be here. And I hope, dear child of God, that I can just in a little way, help you to understand this so that you and I would value even in a greater measure our glorious Lord in his ministry as our great high priest. In Hebrews chapter 7, he details the limitations and the weakness of the Aaronic priesthood. Verse 27 of 23, they were not suffered to continue by reason of death. That was the first limitation. Secondly, verse 27, not now limitation because of death, limitation because of sin. Christ need not daily, as did Aaron, first offer for himself and then for the people. Limitation because of sin. Verse 28, the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities. Limitation because of failure and infirmity. So therefore, the writer to the Hebrews, writing now to those individuals who very well may have felt the tug back to Judaism, is going to show the superiority of this one, Jesus, our great high priest. I want you to think with me, first of all, in verses 23 and 24, we have a great high priest who cannot die. I want to, if I could, just for a few moments in your imagination, I just want to transfer your thoughts now back to tabernacle days. You're living in that day, and I'm living in that day. We are raised in that holy environment, the environment of animal sacrifices, the environment of holy days, the environment of an earthly priesthood. And we would have been instructed and taught rightly by our parents to reverence the office of the high priest. That was all that we knew. And as a boy, we would maybe come to the tabernacle, and we might just on occasion get a glimpse of Aaron in all of his garments of beauty and glory, and we would stand back, maybe as young boys, with an absolute awe. The man who represents us to God. We grow up, of course, in that atmosphere, and we get a little older, and we come through teenage years and maybe into our 20s and into our 30s, and a problem arises. It might be a personal problem or a family problem. And we say to ourselves, if only I could get to the high priest, I'm sure that as he officiates in the presence of God for us as the nation, if I could only get to the high priest, I am sure that he could help me with my problem. So we go to the high priest, and we rehearse our problem in his presence. And the high priest, Aaron, at that time, well, he hears us. And then he gives us the advice for our problem. And we walk away and we say, well, thank God I was helped today from the advice of the high priest. Maybe the problem went away. A year or two later passes and the problem reoccurs, or another problem comes up, and you say to yourself, well, there was the man at the tabernacle that helped me last time. I'm going to go back. So you go back to Aaron again, and again you rehearse the problem, and Aaron's able to help you, and you go away helped and blessed. And then one day the news travels through the camp of Israel, and it travels as fast as a prairie fire, rushed on by a mighty wind. Aaron has died. Aaron has died. And the whole nation is now in shock. You remember what happened, don't you, that they went up into the mountain. And the garments of beauty and glory that were on the shoulders of Aaron were removed, and they were placed on Eleazar, his son. And Eleazar now comes down from the mount to officiate as the next high priest. Now you're the same person as before. And the problem reoccurs again. Just doesn't seem to want to go away. And you say to yourself, well, maybe I should go and see Eleazar. But if I go and see Eleazar, I'm going to have to tell him all of my problem, because he doesn't know it, because I did rehearse that problem in the face of Aaron. And every one of us know today that there is extreme pain and hurt in rehearsing a problem. And we wonder to ourselves, am I going to go back? Is this man going to understand me? And you come now with all of these unsettled feelings. Oh, says the Hebrew writer, we have a great high priest who cannot die. And dear Christian, if you had to go to the Lord Jesus with your problem yesterday, be guaranteed of this. We have one who occupies the throne of God above, who bears in his body the marks of Calvary, indicative that he loves us and he wants us to draw near. And he understands me better than I understand myself. We have a great high priest who cannot die. His priesthood is unchangeable. I notice Mr. Newberry in his margin, his priesthood is untransferable. It will not be transferred to another individual. It is a priesthood, a great high priest, our priest who cannot die. But if that wasn't just good enough to accept the first readers of this Hebrew letter, says the Hebrew letter writer, we not only have a high priest who cannot die, verses 26 and 27, we have a great high priest who cannot sin. This is just, as it were, just one more thing that is going to draw attraction to his glorious person. You see, the men who officiated as high priests in the day of Israel were just men. It was just like one sinner approaching another sinner with his problem. Just one man facing another man with his problem. And of course, the contrast is now given to us in these verses. I would judge that the Day of Atonement is in view. And you remember in that great chapter of Leviticus chapter 16, Leviticus chapter 16 unfolds to us the happenings of what took place on the Day of Atonement. The greatest religious, if we could put it that way, or festive day as far as the nation of Israel was concerned. So, what happened on that day? Leviticus 16 and verse 11, three times over it is stated that the sin offering and the atonement was first of all for himself. In other words, What the writer is emphasizing is this, that before Aaron could intercede on behalf of others, he first of all had to attend to his own sins. Oh, says the Hebrew writer, to those who may have felt the tug back to Judaism, back to a temporal and a physical and a tangible priesthood, he says, we have something that is far greater than that. And they would say, well, what is it that you have? They say, we have a great high priest who cannot sin. Therefore, let us take our minds back now to tabernacle days as a young boy, as a teenager, as men and women, that when you and I came to the tabernacle door and we brought our burnt offering or our peace offering or our sin offering and we brought it there to the high priest, we were just confronted with a man like ourselves. But look how the Hebrew writer lifts, as it were, the glorious person of the Lord Jesus. What are the characteristics of our great high priest? Ah, says the Hebrew writer, he is holy, he is harmless, he is undefiled, he is separate from sinners, he's made higher than the heavens. He is holy as opposed to all that is unrighteous and polluted. He is holy in his motives, in all of his manners, in all of his movements. He is harmless, he is guileless, he is unstained in all of his dealings with mankind. He is undefiled, freedom from any inward impurity. He is separated from sinners. He moved daily in the presence of sinners, yet was never defiled by it. He was separate from sinners in that God raised him from the dead, made higher than the heavens in exaltation. And the wonderful characteristic that the Hebrew writer brings before the readers is this: we have a great high priest who cannot sin. But that might have been good enough to satisfy them. But the Hebrew writer says, not only do we have a great high priest who cannot die, not only do we have a great high priest who cannot sin. Oh, he says, here's the third item. We have a great high priest who cannot fail. That brings us into verse 28. For the law maketh men high priests which have infirmities. That is, they were just men that were marked by failure. For the availability of a high priest in Israel's day, they could only choose men who had failed, for really there was no other option. As failing high priests of the Aaronic priesthood, these men very well may have been marked by an unsympathetic attitude. Remember now going to the high priest in tabernacle as a boy or as a young girl and explaining your need and your problem to the high priest and getting an answer. I wonder sometimes if Aaron lifted the flap of his tent and he said to himself, oh no, there comes that Gould fella again. Marked by unsympathetic attitude. You see, that was all that the Aaronic priesthood could produce. not only to discover that that one might have died, and there was the next high priest that took his office, but men that were marked by failure. You or I might have gone along to the high priest, and that high priest may have given us incomplete advice. He might not have known the whole story. We might not have told him the whole story. And he might have offered incomplete advice. That high priest may have been marked in some little way, maybe by a bias against our family, or a prejudice against our family in his thinking or in his dealings. Men that were marked by infirmity. Says the Hebrew writer, you lift your eye to the throne. A man at God's right hand who cannot die. A man at God's right hand who cannot sin. A man at God's right hand who cannot fail. We have something, dear Christian, today that is far superior to the Aaronic priesthood. We have a great high priest who cannot fail. And in your problems and difficulties, dear Christian, when you feel your wife doesn't understand you, and she might not, and when you feel that your husband doesn't understand you, and he might not, and maybe you feel the pain of distance from your family, and maybe you feel that the elders just aren't giving the help and the support that maybe you feel you need. Dear Christian, don't falter. We have a great high priest who cannot fail. He understands me better than I understand myself. And he's there to draw near to assist you. When I go to bed tonight, Lord willing, and I turn out the light, he never slumbers or sleeps. The time changes around the world. While you and I will lie down to rest, another part of the world is rising up to start a new day. And this one is the one that welcomes me into his presence. He's never biased. He'll never be prejudiced. He will never be marked by an unsympathetic attitude. He will never be marked by giving to you, dear believer, incomplete or wrong advice. And he's there, seated at the right hand of God, interceding there for you and for me. What a lovely portrait that the Hebrew writer has presented to us of the great high priest, our Lord Jesus. To the Hebrews, just as I close, allow the eye of our soul to be taken up with him, not only to be taken up with the perfections of his person, as the Hebrew writer unfolds that to us as the eternal Son, not only the perfections of his passion, pointing us to the once and for all sacrifice of the work of the cross, but, dear Christian, the perfections of the priesthood. He's there in the presence of God for us. You remember in the priesthood, the Aaronic priesthood, that Aaron wore garments of beauty and of glory, And over those garments he wore what is called an ephod. Well, just like an apron. And on that apron were two stones, one on each of his shoulders. They were onyx stones. And on those stones were engraved six names of the tribes and six names on the other. And it is a little picture of the high priest bearing the nation collectively into the presence of God. But sometimes we as Christians, we need something that is not collective. We need something that's personal. And so God made provision for that as well, because you remember there was the breastplate of judgment. Was it not just a span square, the thumb to the finger, about 9 inches? And not only did the high priest carry the people of God collectively into the presence of God, but each of those stones marked one of the tribes individually. And he not only carried them collectively, he carried them individually into the presence of God. Might the Lord help us then, just in a little way, if we could carry away from the conference today the beauty and the glory of our Lord Jesus as our great high priest.